Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and today's guest is Jennifer Arthington. Jennifer is the creator and founder of Old Chicks No Shit, a community and podcast of the same name designed to inspire and support midlife women in chasing their dreams and creating their kick-ass next chapter. In addition, Jennifer is an empowerment coach, podcast host, writer, and speaker. It is my pleasure to welcome Jennifer to our show today.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jennifer, let's fill in some of the gaps now of this bio and tell us about your journey and how it came to be for you to have a company entitled this. Obviously, you're helping women in midlife, and the title, Old Chicks, No Shit. So obviously, you've had some experiences along the way that have led you to be in this position to share this with other people. So why don't you fill us in on those gaps and tell us what led you to serving others in the way you do today?
Yeah, so I had a long and pretty successful career in the corporate world. And then in the year leading up to my 50th birthday, I found myself divorced, unemployed, an empty nester, and I was bedridden with a stress-related illness. And what I realized in the process of all of that being kind of stripped away from me, all of the identities of who I thought I was in the world were no longer available. And I realized that I had no idea who I was. So if I wasn't a wife, a mother, a corporate executive, and at the time I was a very avid gym goer, if I wasn't all of those things, I had no idea who I was. And even more importantly than that, you know, I had no idea what I wanted for myself and what I wanted for my life. So I realized that I had been living my life up to that point, mostly out of duty and obligation. I had, you know, checked all the boxes and done everything that was expected of me. You know, I went to school, got good grades, got into a good college, got a good job, worked my way up the ranks, you know, got married, had a child, did all the things. But nowhere along the way had I actually stopped and checked in with myself to see if that's what I wanted to be doing, if that's what I was happy doing. Because I was just like, this is just life. This is just the way it is. So I was busy doing what I was doing and never giving it a second thought. And then when my life basically crashed down around me, you know, after throwing myself a big old pity party for a really long time, and honestly, I truly believed that at the age of 50, my life was over. Like, I had no frame of reference that there was a possibility that you could start your life over at 50. And I, after a period of time, got to this place where I realized that, wait a minute, I'm only 50. I've got another, 30 years between 50 and 80, and I can choose to do something with that. I can choose to do something on my terms. And then I set about on this journey to figure out, you know, who I was and what it was that I wanted from my life. And that's what I was setting out to create. So, you know, along the way, you know, I started looking for inspiration for what was possible for women in their 50s and 60s and 70s. Like, you know, where were all the amazing women doing, you know, amazing things in the world in midlife and reinventing themselves? And what was reflected back to me from mainstream media was not a really pretty picture. The way our culture views women in their 50s and 60s is not exactly uplifting. There's very much a message of the beginning of the end and coasting to the finish line. If you look at mainstream advertising, it's all about, you know, vitamins and bladder leakage protection and retirement plans. And, you know, none of that really spoke to me. And I knew there was so much more that I wanted to do and wanted to give in the world. So I set out to create the inspiration that I was looking for. And so I started searching for the stories. And that's actually how the Old Chicks No Shit podcast was born, was because I wanted to share that inspiration. Because, you know, if I was feeling like this, I knew there had to be other women who were in the same boat. And I wanted to share that inspiration with them so that they could, you know, see what was possible for their own lives.
Wow, that is so fantastic. And it's just so true. Oh my goodness. It is just so, 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 so very true. And you know, you're so right. And when you look at lists of people that have did incredible things, people that we're even familiar with, and they've just started their career at 54 mm-hmm. and at 57, it's astonishing. And I think it really is, it's inspiring, as you're saying, when you hear other people's stories, but it's also, there's some hope in that like, yeah. I can still do this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's the thing, you know, like women of our generation are very different than the middle-aged women of our mothers and our grandmothers' generation, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
You know, and we've never had this modeled for us. Like we've never seen what was possible. I mean, yes, you're right. You know, there was the stories of some people who started their careers, but for the most part, we don't even see that. Like, that's not the advertised part, right? It's like how great their careers are. But, you know, some of the biggest names, like, what is it? Colonel Sanders started mm-hmm. PFC in his like 60s, I think, or even 70s. You know, so there's, you know, we just don't see these things. They're not part of the mainstream, right? And we all need we need to see possibility to be able to know that if somebody else can do it, we can do it too.
Absolutely. It is really, really interesting. And there are more men in that list and category than there are females. Yes. But even Lucille Ball didn't really get her first sort of break on TV or in movies until she was like 46, which wow. is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy, but inspiring at the same time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So in your level of expertise, what advice or what tips do you have? So maybe some of your best tips for creating your next inspired chapter of life.
Well, I think one of the things is always being willing to learn something. So one of the things that holds us back from, you know, trying new things is like we hate to not know, especially, you know, after most of us have, you know, had a career for a long period of time, we've become experts in our fields and our careers, and starting something new feels daunting because we're going back to that place where, you know, we're the beginner, where we don't have all of the answers, where we haven't had that experience before. And it can feel really, really uncomfortable. But if we can just, you know, open ourselves up to the fact that we are learning something new, and that, you know, we're going to suck at the beginning, like everybody does, and that it's okay to suck. Like it's okay to fail at something. It's okay not to be good at it, and just open our minds up to, you know, to keep learning, to keep growing. I think that's really, really important. I think the other part of that is being willing to work through your fears and limiting beliefs, because whenever you start something new, inevitably, when you step out of your comfort zone, your brain fires off all of the fear mechanisms and, you know, gives you 1,000 reasons why you're going to fail at whatever it is that you're setting out to do or why you can't do it. And most of that, you know, from my experience, and I see it with the clients and with the women in my mastermind group, most of that is stories that we tell ourselves about what's possible. Mm-hmm. And so if we can see our fears and our limiting beliefs for what they are, and then kind of say, but I'm still going to do it anyway, what we find is that those fears and limiting beliefs actually subside a bit. And then they become, you know, a thing of the past. And so being willing to see the fear or to see the limiting belief and act anyway is incredibly important. And then the third thing I would say is resilience. Like when you are starting something new, when you are doing something that you were never going to do before, you are going to screw up, you are going to make mistakes, and you are going to fail. And to be able to be resilient enough to come to see it for what it is, like, first of all, I don't believe in failure. I think there's only learning. To be able to like get back up and to try again. You know, I think it's an incredibly important thing for us to be able to not take ourselves too seriously, so that we can actually, you know, put these things in perspective and keep going.
Very good. So what have you identified then as your sort of superpower or your strengths that have helped you along this journey?
Definitely, I would say out of those two things that I just said, all three of those things actually have been, are my superpowers. So, resilience for sure. You know, I definitely have struggled with that, you know, starting over and not being the expert, especially after having a long career. I struggled with that a lot. But as soon as I shifted the perspective to, you know, there is no failure, there's only learning. It gave me the resilience that I needed to just kind of to keep trying, because you know what, it's, you know, that's how you become an expert. What does they say? 10,000 hours of practice and you become the expert in something. That's how you become the expert. And there's no shortcut around that, right? So if you want something bad enough, if you have a vision for your life that you're going for, you're going to have to, you know, have the resilience to keep going even after failures and to not let those things drag you down.
Right. Well, that's great. And it's so true, right? I mean, I just think I love this sort of permission to fail. And I think if people could just understand that and own it, that it's okay. It doesn't mean you're failing or that it's the end of the world of anything or that you can't continue on. It just means you've learned that that way didn't work and that there could be a different way to go.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments. What's something that you've created that you're super proud of?
I would definitely have to say it's the Old Chicks No Shit movement. So, you know, creating a place where midlife women can come to be reminded of how truly powerful they are at a time of life when society would tell us otherwise. So, you know, again, the cultural narrative around midlife is the beginning of the end, coasting to the finish line. And so many of us, and myself included, like we buy into that, maybe not even consciously, but subconsciously, we're presented with this message over and over again, and it seeps in there. And then that colors how we approach our life and, you know, what we see as possible for our lives. So, you know, creating Old Chicks No Shit as a place where women can come to see something different, I am incredibly proud of that. And I should say Old Chicks No Shit really is, and the reason for that name is because so much of how women see our value in the world is about what we do for others, you know, our ability to have babies, you know, what our faces and bodies look like. And when all of that starts to shift in midlife, you know, we're no longer mothers, maybe our careers are on autopilot, you know, and we definitely, you know, our faces and bodies are changing at that time. It's really about a shift inwards, turning inwards. And this time of our life is really not about the external. It's about who we are on the inside and all of the knowledge and life experience and wisdom that we have. And so Old Chicks No Shit is really just a reminder that we are so much more than our bodies, our faces, and what we do for other people.
I loved how you said that whether we even really think about it on a subconscious level or unconsciously, right? Yeah. What are some of those things? I think some of the ladies listening to this, because a lot of ladies I think that listen to this podcast probably fall into this demographic, mm-hmm. knowing just of some of the people I know that listen to it. And so what are some of those things that on a very subconscious level that we start to buy into?
Yeah. So, you know, if you think, for example, about the standard of beauty, I read somewhere recently that we on a daily basis, we are subjected to something like more than 3,000 images of what it means to be the perfect woman, right? The way she should look, the way her body should be. And that image typically is a woman around the age of 25 or so. And so consciously, like after this message is just repeated and repeated and repeated, and we see it everywhere, subconsciously, that's what we're measuring ourselves up against. And the horrible part about that is even that 25-year-old, you know, woman, the image of that 25-year-old woman is airbrushed, you know, and altered. So we're not even really looking at a real person. And then we're comparing ourselves, you know, physically to that beauty standard. And so it can be really difficult for us then to, you know, when things start to change, you know, when, you know, our bodies are definitely not what they used to be. But that's the thing that we are constantly subconsciously comparing ourselves with and never measuring up. I mean, even the 25-year-olds aren't measuring up, but we're not measuring up to that on a very subconscious level. And so it causes us, and because we've seen our value in how we look, we've been taught that our value is in how we look, we start to see ourselves as less relevant, maybe as not important as we used to be, right? Maybe we don't fit in like we used to. And all of that is kind of playing in the subconscious. And again, it colors how we see what's possible for our lives. Like I, you know, at the age of 50, like I said, honestly thought my life was over. I kept saying, who who starts over at 50? Nobody. This is the beginning of the end. Like, I'm supposed to be, you know, riding off into the retirement sunset with a pot of gold on the arm of a handsome man. And none of that was my reality, right? But that image mm-hmm. of what it was meant to be, I mean, it's not the reality for a lot of people, a lot of midlife women, but that was the mental image that was in the back of my head about what this time of my life was going to be. It wasn't about chasing my dreams, you know, creating something new, finding my passion or my purpose, right?
Right.
And so again, this is what's playing in the background of how we see ourselves. And it's really unfortunate. And it's time that we shift this narrative, because like I said, we've got 30 years, maybe even longer ahead of us. It's actually the longest chapter of our lives yet. And to think that we're going to be coasting into the finish line for 30 years feels rather absurd to me.
I agree. I will tell you though, that for myself, one of the number one questions I find myself being asked in social settings, especially, is when do you plan on retiring? So when do you think retire? I'm asked that on a regular basis now, like that as an expectation. And I'm like, well, I don't have any foreseeable plans for that, because what else, what would I do? Like, I think we have choices on how much time we want to spend doing whatever it is we want to do, but why would you choose to do nothing?
Well, and I think that's true because, you know, for so many of us, we're in a job that maybe doesn't feel fulfilling to us, and we're just putting in the time and, you know, waiting for the end, which, you know, is retirement. But when you are, you know, doing something that you're passionate about that feels purposeful for you, literally you could do that till the day you die. So there is no such thing as retirement, but it's this like putting in time, waiting for the end kind of narrative that we all have, you know, that our culture serves up to us is really the need for retirement. But I like you, I don't ever plan to retire. I might be doing something different, but I'll never be, you know, in quotations, retired.
Wow. So in opposite of the, what is some, one of the things that you've accomplished that you're really proud of, what is probably one of the greatest challenges you've faced, and how did you work through that?
So I think probably the greatest challenge, and I alluded to this at the beginning, was, you know, after finding myself, you know, divorced, unemployed, empty nester, and bedridden with a stress-related illness, like was really getting to know myself again, right? Because I only knew myself by those titles. And without those titles, I saw nothing. And so recognizing, like getting to know myself, like what makes me happy? What are my values? What do I want for my life? What's important to me? Getting back in touch with those things was a challenge, because it's a bit of a process. It's not like you can walk up to yourself and be like, hi, here I am. And you know, here's all the things about me, because I didn't know that. So it was a process, an investment of time in myself and spending time with myself to really understand those parts of me. And then, you know, the next layer to that is when you think about doing something new in your life, again, like I talked about, all the fears and limiting beliefs that pop up, like, you know, I can't do this. I've never done this before. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. Like overcoming all of those things and getting to a place where you can see possibility for yourself. You know, it's basically us getting out of our own way. And I call this really a period of unlearning, because midlife really is a bit of a shift in terms of how we've been living our life and how we've been operating. And so quite often what has worked for us up until this point is no longer what's going to work for us moving forward. And so coming to terms with all of the stories and limiting beliefs we have about ourselves, all of the, you know, the fears, you know, the subconscious beliefs, you know, that are standing in the way of us seeing ourselves in a different way. And that's, it's this process of unlearning and relearning what's possible for us at this time of our lives. And definitely for me, I mean, I, you know, worked with coaches and mentors and in mastermind groups. And like, that's how I kind of learned to work my way through these things, because, you know, we all have them. Every one of us has them. And it's a question of, you know, whether we're willing to do the work to move past them. And it is possible for all of us to move past them.
Absolutely. So I do think that that is, I've been on this kick of the story you tell yourself is the one you'll believe. So what are you waking up and telling yourself every day?
Yeah, exactly.
And it really falls into the same category. So how do women, when they have these limiting beliefs, now you did allude to it a little bit, coaches, mm-hmm. masterminds, but yeah. how do they navigate and sort of let go of some of those limiting beliefs? I would love for you to give some of our listeners just some concrete advice.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, one of the most important things that we can do is to create a vision for the life that we want, because sometimes we need something to pull us forward, like something that's bigger than us to pull us forward so that we can move past those things. So having, giving yourself permission to, you know, create a dream in your mind, to create a vision of, like, you know, your perfect day, your perfect life, your perfect career, like whatever that would be. And to hold that vision as your guidepost. Because I can tell you, along my journey, there were many, many days where I was like, okay, I quit. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go back into corporate and just get another job. And then, you know, when that emotion would subside, I'd be like, no, but I have this goal. I have this dream. And that would be the thing that would make me get up and do it again, right? The other thing that we can do is, you know, challenge our stories a little bit. So when we have a story that comes up that says, you know, I can't do X or I can't do Y, is to challenge the story by asking, is this really true? What is the evidence for that? And to really question it. So rather than taking it at face value, is to just question, you know, maybe it's not that I can't do this. Maybe it's just that I've never learned how to do this, or I've never tried to do it. Or, you know, like often when we say, where's the evidence of this, you know, we look around and we go, oh, okay, I don't really have any evidence. It's a story that we've picked up from, like, childhood or experiences, or is passed down to us by one of our parents. But, you know, when we start to become aware of what those stories and limiting beliefs are, and then we challenge them, 99% of the time, we will see that they don't hold as much truth and as much weight as we think they do. And then that scenario, we can then see it for what it is, and then, you know, park it to the side and say, okay, but I'm still going to take this next step. Right. And so often what I do is, when I have a fear or, you know, a repetitive thought or limiting belief, I literally say out loud, we're not doing that today. And then I take the step forward.
Good. I think that is important. Again, you're telling yourself that story. That's not going to be my story. I'm not doing that today. I'm not believing that today. Here's what I'm going to do instead. I think it is that just constant pushing through that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the thing is, the fears never actually go away. What happens mm-hmm. is that we just get much better at seeing them for what they are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's an important thing for people, and especially women, to hear on how to navigate that. Because I think a lot of people just don't have the wherewithal to do that. That yeah. voice is too loud.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, and the first thing I tell everybody is, you know, our first job is literally just to become aware of the voice. Because so much, you know, this voice is happening on a subconscious level and we aren't even aware of it, but it's actually, you know, impacting our behaviors and our actions. And if we can just catch ourselves in the awareness of, oh, there's that thought again, right? Like, that's half the job, is catching ourselves in the act. And then we can choose a different reaction at that particular point. So like I said, you know, I say to my fears, we're not doing this today, right? But mm-hmm. first I have to be aware of it enough to be able to say, okay, I see you. I see what you're doing, but we're not doing it.
Absolutely. So this is kind of our signature question of the show. And that is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, for me, it's all about feeling like inspired and passionate about what I do. The one thing, you know, when I was reinventing my life and, you know, reinventing my career, the one thing I said to myself repeatedly was, I want to wake up and be passionate and excited about what I do. It also, you know, so it actually doesn't even feel like work, right? Like, you know, we have the definition of the word work, but for me, this is just what I would do even if I wasn't getting paid to do it, right? So it's something that ignites my passion, my fire, you know, gives me a sense of purpose. And the other thing is about being able to work on my terms and to do things the way that I want to do them, like permission to create something new, maybe in a way it's never been done before. And so being able to create my own path, really has been, I think, is my happy place for sure.
Fantastic. So for others wanting to start something brand new, and we've kind of chatted about this already, but it's advice for any entrepreneurs that are looking to create a new path for themselves. What's some words of wisdom that you might have for them?
I think it would be just what we were talking about. So would be to be passionate about what you do. Like, find something that ignites, that is big, that feels bigger than you, that ignites a sense of passion and purpose in you, because there will be ups and downs along the way. There will be good days. There will be bad days. There will be days where you think you just can't. And when you have that thing that's pulling you forward, that thing that's bigger than you, that passion, that is what is going to pull you through the bad days. And the other part about it, I would say, is, you know, on the bad days, is to give yourself compassion and grace, because it's one bad day. It doesn't mean, you know, it's the beginning of the end. You can't do this. It's one bad day, and that you can wake up and we can put that day, you know, behind you and say, okay, we're starting fresh today. So yeah, definitely. I would say just have something that you're super passionate about.
Very good. And in closing, are there any new and exciting things you would love our listeners to know about?
Yeah. So two things that I am working on right now, first of all, is my the Midlife Kickstarters Mastermind. So as I mentioned before, I think I am such a huge, huge believer in the power of community, to not, you know, do things on your own, because if you're trying to do something new on your own, you know, it's so easy to get, you know, caught up in your own fears and limiting beliefs to the point that it will paralyze you. When you are creating something new as part of a community who can, you know, hold your belief for you on the days that you're really struggling, who can reflect back to you, you know, how smart and capable you are, you know, who can encourage you on the days that you're just not feeling it. I think that is really what has helped me be successful. And I watch it in my mastermind. So being able to have this group of women who are all, you know, in midlife, who are all coming together to create something new in their lives, whether it be, you know, a career, a hobby, starting a business, like whatever that looks like, they're doing it together and they're supporting and encouraging people along the way. So the Midlife Kickstarter Mastermind. And then the second thing is the Old Chicks Charity, which supports underprivileged midlife women to create their next best chapter. So I read a stat a little while ago that said women are 80% more likely to be impoverished in retirement than men. And that stat opened my eyes in a huge way. And when you look at what's underneath that, you realize that, you know, from the beginning of our careers, women are paid less than men. You know, we don't negotiate our salaries. There's what they call the mommy tax. So women's salaries stagnate, you know, in the years of pregnancy and child rearing, whereas men's, conversely, men's salaries actually increase because they have families to support. And then, you know, it goes and on that way, where, you know, women reach their peak earning on average at age 45. Men, it's age 55. And for men, it's 40% higher. So then when you take, you know, all of the responsibilities that women have on top of that, and it'd be death, divorce, you know, illness, you know, where women tend to be the caregivers, we are behind the eight ball constantly. And, you know, there is a larger than I would like to admit population of women who are, you know, thinking about their next chapter and who were still struggling to put food on the table. And so being able to create a charity that supports women in, you know, retraining for new careers or starting businesses and things like that, I am super, super excited about.
That is exciting. And I think it's so needed. So kudos to you and congratulations for doing that, because that's really an important piece of this whole journey, is recognizing some of those statistics that you just gave very quickly. They're startling.
Yeah, it really is startling. It was eye-opening for me.
Gosh, I bet. Well, thanks for doing that for sure. And thanks for being with us today. And where can our listeners find you?
So you can find me on all of the social media channels at oldchicksknowshit.com. I also have a Facebook group of the same name, a free Facebook group. And then there's the podcast of the same name and my website, which is oldchicksknowshit.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for being our guest today and sharing your wisdom. And thanks for sort of leading the way for women that still have so much left in them to create something amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved our conversation.
To all of our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We know you have a choice of where to spend your time, and we appreciate you spending it with us today. We have really great interviews both on Mondays and Thursdays with artists as well as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to check out my Tuesday tips, which are great simple business tips for entrepreneurs. If you would like to leave us a rate or review, we always appreciate that. But our greatest compliment is to just share it with a friend and make more people aware of our podcast, Work From Your Happy Place. So until next time, keep living your best life and continue to work from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.